I was fairly impressed with the young, the youth, the sisters came up all the way to the front. If I'm going to do a youth class, I'd really like for the youth guys to come up front too, if you can. Those of you that are sitting in the back that consider yourselves youth, if you want to come up front and fill up the front two benches, I would appreciate that. Yeah, I don't know what you were expecting to have as far as a topic for the youth, geared towards the youth. I didn't find out about this. I wasn't asked to do this until kind of recently. We were talking about it kind of last minute, that it'd be nice to do something a little special. We have young people here today, and there's a lot of potential here in the young people, and I just want to bless y'all that God has a specific place and a specific role for you to fill in your churches. Now, we have some from Whiteville. There's a few from Brown County. There's maybe some Kentucky. Did the Kentucky youth go home? There was a few from Kentucky here last night. Is there more other churches that are represented? Well, obviously Lighthouse here. But yeah, we have a lot of different churches represented here. And I just want to bless y'all that God has a specific place for you here, for you in your spot to fill this morning. And maybe you don't know what, maybe you don't know that, maybe you haven't felt like you've been affirmed that, or feel like maybe you're not sure what that spot is. But I encourage you to continue looking for that spot that God has for you. Because God has a specific role for you. This morning, I want to talk just a little bit about, and it's not a health, wealth, and prosperity gospel is what I don't want to preach, by no means. But what I want to talk to you about is following God's plan to a fulfilling life. I don't even know what the title would be, but that's kind of the idea. What it takes to live a fulfilled life, and also that God's plans work. God has a plan for your life that works if you follow it. And like I said, it's not a thing where if you do this, then all of a sudden your life is going to all be, you know, you're going to have experienced a lot of good things just because of that. But God does have a specific plan laid out for you to follow in the Bible, in the Word of God. And I think I just like to briefly look at that just a little bit. Now you see here, freedom to do just as you please. I have a story about a young man that went to look for freedom. He was born in the year 1815. He was born in Virginia. This young man, he was a little kid. He was born and he grew up he was a black boy. So he was born into slavery. And this young man grew up to know no freedom. No freedom. Now, he had a good master. His master would actually give him some money every now and then. And he would give him a small allowance. But this guy would go out in the field and work all day long, come back. That's all he did. That was his life. No freedom whatsoever. And so he would go out, he would work, he would come back in. That was what his life consisted of. He got a little bit older, and he noticed this young woman from a neighboring plantation, and he actually went to his master and asked him if he could get married to this young lady. This man's name was Henry. The lady's name is Nancy. And so the master agreed that, yes, you can go. You can go ask the master of Nancy to see if you can get married, because Nancy belonged to her master, which was a neighboring plantation. The things worked out. He actually used some of his allowance money and bought her as his wife, although he couldn't purchase her as his property because she belonged to the master. It was more just a, I don't know, I guess you could say he leased her almost. I mean, hate to put it that way, but that's kind of what it was. So he got married. They got married, and he lived, they were married for about, forget how many years it was, but it was about, when he became 30 years old, it was somewhere between, I think around 20 when he got married, about 30 years old, he had made an agreement with the master of his wife that if he pays a certain amount, that she would not be sold. The master sold his wife and his little kids One day when he's out in the plantation and he comes back home and they're gone and he hears the news, they're gone. And that was it. Never seen him again. This man was broken. He was weeping. He was just broken over this. And he said, my life doesn't consist of anything without freedom. I have to have freedom. I have to get out of here. I am done. And he went into town. He found a local abolitionist, a man who was against slavery, and another free slave that helped him. And they made a narrow 3-foot box, 3-foot by 2-foot. And he laid down in this box, all curled up in this box. And he was curled up in the box so tight that he could not turn, he could not twist. There was not enough room to do anything. Had a little bit of water and a little bit of food. And he's in this box. Let me back up a bit. I'm getting ahead of myself in the story. This young man, in order for him to even get out of work that day, he had to have something major wrong with him. The master wasn't going to let him go just because he sprained an ankle. He couldn't say, well, I sprained an ankle or I pulled a ligament. He couldn't do that. He had to have something major go wrong for him to be able to take off of work. So he went and took some sulfuric acid and burned his hands to where you could actually burn them all the way to the bone, it said. Story is. And the master, seeing it, didn't know what happened, but he let him have a day off. That day is when he went into town. They had beforehand made this box, and he crawls down in this box with his hurt hand the way it was, and everything. He was just had a little bit of water, a little bit of food, and that's all he had. They loaded him up onto a carriage and sent him down the road. He was going with the U.S. Mail Service, heading from Richmond to Philadelphia, going to freedom. And he's bouncing along. And soon he comes to his next leg of the journey, is on a train. Now for the train, he rides the train for a while and he gets to a place where he's actually put on a steamship to cross the river. This trip, all in all, took him about 27 hours. It wasn't just, you know, it wasn't days, but it was several hours, 27 hours. After he came off the steamship, he went back onto a carriage, and he had labels on the outside of the box that said this side up, and they missed it somehow. And he's upside down, and his face is filling with blood. He's in there, just ridiculous amount of pressure on his, but he doesn't cry out. He's going for freedom, desperately wanted freedom. A little while later, while riding on the carriage, some of the helpers that were on the carriage needed a place to sit. And they said, here's this carriage. Oh, it's upside down. They flipped it over and sat on it. Gave him some relief. He went on to his destination in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. They opened the box. They received him. They were waiting for him. They received him. And he stood up and passed out immediately. But when he could actually talk, he started singing a psalm. There was a psalm in the Bible. I couldn't find which one it was, but he started singing, and he said, "Greetings, brothers. I'm a free man." He desperately wanted freedom, desperately wanted to be released from that bondage he was in. Now, this morning, how does that apply to us? How does the story affect you when you think of your life as young people wanting freedom, wanting to be live a life of that's not restricted, or that I just want to be me? Have you ever thought that? I just want to be me. I'd like for you to try to help me also understand some of the differences between freedom and, maybe I should say, the differences between freedom and just wanting my own way. What is the difference? Is there a difference? Is it possible to live a life of happiness while serving your community and ultimately God? Can self-sacrifice be enjoyable? How do you get to the point where serving others and God truly is a joy? And how important are my dreams and visions for my life? To these questions, I don't have all answers. But I think The general thing that we face, especially as youth, we have a vision of what we think our life should look like. We have things that we want to do. Not just youth, this is for the elders as well. But we kind of have an idea of what things we want to do, things what we want our life to look like. And if we start talking about self-sacrifice and self-denial, sounds pretty boring pretty quick. Nobody likes to talk about that. Our flesh, our self, does not like talking about that. But I'd like to look, does our need to be self-sacrificing, does that play a role in how you feel as far as your fulfillment in your life? There's a story. If I can run this. Oh. Maybe I'll just use my computer here. If you turn your Bibles to Luke 15, chapter 11, chapter 15, verse 11 through 32, there's a story of a young man that was also thought he was in bondage. He also thought he was where this young black boy, his name was Henry, thought he was. But this was an illusion for this young man. This was not freedom what this young man was looking for in the Bible here. This young man was looking for he was wanting his own way. He was rebelling against his dad. He was rebelling against his community. Maybe I'll just go ahead and tell this story, and you can follow along in your Bible there. But this young man is the story of the prodigal son. He came to his dad one day, and he said, "Dad," he said, "I am sick of this life. I am sick of what I'm involved in. I'm not fulfilled in this. I want out. I want to get out of here. I'm tired of doing the day-to-day things I always do. Give me the portion of everything that I owe, that you owe me, all of your property that you're going to give me someday. Give it to me now, and I want to go." That's basically, he's telling his dad what he wants to do. And dad, you know, in the story, doesn't say exactly how it all went, but, you know, I can imagine the dad was sad. He wasn't happy about this. He's like, you know, and I didn't realize it till I read this story again. The dad also gave the portion to the older son that stayed there. And so he gave him his portion of property, his money. I don't know, did he sell property? Did he get his property? Maybe he owned some land and he sold the land and gave him the money, and the son went off to find freedom, to find a fulfilling life. You'll see me use those two kind of interchangeably, freedom and, you know, being fulfilled in your life. So he went to find fulfillment and freedom in his life. And it says he went to a far country. It tells me he left his culture, he left his community, he left everything he knew that was familiar to him and went to a far country. He decided, you know what, this is what I need to do. I just need to get out, start fresh, do everything different. And he just partied all. That's what he did. And you can only play volleyball so much. We found that out last night. By 9 o'clock, I was whooped. It was fun. We had a lot of fun. But you can only party but so much. This young man did not find any fulfillment in his life. He's in a far country. I don't know where it was. Maybe he was over in Italy. He went to Italy. That's where people like to go. He went to Italy. And he was over there, spent his time there, and partied. Finally ran out of money, so he finds work. You know, the property, his inheritance that he was going to use wisely someday down the road, he had burned it all up. It was all gone. So now he is having to figure out what he's going to do next. So he goes and finds a job. Finds a job with a farmer. And a pig farmer. Now if you look in Hebrew culture, pigs are not very high on the list. Pigs are the bottom. You can't eat a pig if you're a Jew. And this story was written in their Jewish culture. You know what's worse than eating a pig? Eating the food the pig eats. That's literally what he wanted to do. Eat the food that the pig eats. And it says they wouldn't even give it that to him. This guy was all the way at the bottom. He went to look for a life of fulfillment, of freedom, of it was an illusion to him that he could find this there. Finally, he said one day, you know what? I can't even eat the pig food. I'm going home. He decided to go home. And he heads back. He said, I have there are servants in my dad's house that are working for him that are much better off than I am here. Nothing for me here. I'm heading back home. So he heads back home, and the dad welcomes him back. Story of a father's love. Now, in Hebrew tradition, this story ended differently. When Jesus told this story, it wasn't necessarily a new story for his audience. The story normally ended with the dad actually accepting his offer of being a servant. Because after you have betrayed the culture and the community, you couldn't actually come back in. So Jesus changed the story, and that really picked the ears of the Jewish people in his audience that day. Oh, the story is different. It was kind of like a proverb. If I told you the story of the tortoise and the hare, you know it well. That's kind of what this was. It was a story that they often heard, but it ended differently this time. Where the father opened his arms up and said, come back and we'll accept you as a son, not as a servant. So there's grace for you if you've been in that place where you've went out and you've found, tried to find fulfillment in wrong areas. You came back. There's grace. The story is there for you. Jesus said this is the story of God, how he is to us as a father. The prodigal son ran away from serving siblings, parents, community, and ultimately God. But the prodigal son returned to serve the same. Why did he return? Our humanistic worldview of finding fulfillment in life. This is what society around us tells us we need to be doing. If you want to be fulfilled in your life, fulfillment, a good life, then you should be independent and you should self-sacrifice as little as you absolutely have to. The Christian's worldview for finding fulfillment in life is this, and I want to look at Deuteronomy chapter 5, 22. We're going to read some scripture here. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 22. And what I was saying earlier about God has a plan for you, or God has a plan laid out in the Word of God for your benefit. It is not for your destruction. It is not for your... It is not to hold you back. The commandments of God are not roadblocks on the road to happiness. They are signs along the road to lead you to that fulfilling life. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 22. These were the words that the Lord spoke. Okay, let me give you a little background on this. Moses is talking to the people. He's telling the children of Israel. You remember, this was not when it happened. He was reflecting back about when God came down on the mountain. He said, these words the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the mount of the midst, in the midst of the fire, of the cloud, and of the thick darkness, with a great voice, and he added no more. And he wrote them down in two tables of stone, and delivered them unto me. And it came to pass when he heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, and it came to pass when ye heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire, that ye came near unto me, even all the heads of your tribes and your elders. And ye said, behold, the Lord our God showed us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire, and we have seen this day that God doth talk with man, and that he liveth. Now, therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, then we shall die. For who is there of all flesh that hath heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of the fire, and as we have, has lived? Go thou near, and hear all that the Lord your God shall say, and speak unto you all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee. And we will hear it and do it. And the Lord heard the voice of your words when ye spake unto me. And the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of these people which they have spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken. Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep my commandments always, that it may be well with them and with their children forever. And I'll pause just there just a little bit. Verse 29. So that it may go well with you and with your children. God gave us commandments in the Bible not to stop you from having a good time, not to give you a hard life. In fact, the commandments of God are a gift to you. So oftentimes we viewed it in our past life as hindrances. We've viewed the Word of God, the promises of God, the commandments that God gives us. We have viewed them too much as something I can or can't do. But they're not a can and can't do. They're a gift to you. They're a guide. If I was to explain to you, if I was to ask you to explain to me, how does AI work? Artificial intelligence. You could give me a brief description, and maybe it would be accurate, maybe it wouldn't, I don't know. Maybe you know more about it than I do. I can't tell you. But the designers of AI, of artificial intelligence, can tell you of how it works, what makes it work, what are some things that you can, you know, how you can use it, what is a plan to use or anything for that matter. John Deere tractor. Whoever makes the John Deere tractor knows what it takes to make the tractor work the best. God has designed you specifically, and He's given us the blueprint of what works best. If you do this, it works better for you. If you do this, you won't have the problems that you might have otherwise. Follow this line of thinking and do this. This is the Word of God. It's a gift. It's kind of God's owner's manual, and He shared it with us for each one of us. Go back to verse 29 there. Verse 30. Go say to them, get into your tents again, but as for thee, stand thou here by me, and I will speak unto thee all the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which thou shalt teach them, and that they may do them in the land which I give them to possess it. Ye shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you. Ye shall not turn aside to the right hand nor to the left. Verse 33, ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye will possess. So God has given us a set of guides, a set of boundaries, a set of laws to follow, if you will, so that you might live, so that you might live long, and so that it might go well with you while you're living long. How much more do you need? I think so often we have not appreciated the commandments of God. And I think that's why David often said that in the Psalms. He said, I love the commandments. I ponder on them. I think on them. Now, it can sound like you can get carried away with that. You can make it sound like, you know, everything's going to be hunky-dory if you follow the Word of God. You're going to have, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about there is a fulfilling life to be had. We are talking about the Anabaptists this morning that were killed. They lived a fulfilling life even though things didn't go perfect for them. I think that is what God is saying. It's not that everything's going to go great. Back to this idea of sacrificing ourselves. Or the prodigal son found out. Life kicked him right in the face. He had tried hard his own path. He had tried hard to find that fulfillment and freedom, and it didn't work. So he came back and said, let me go back to God's method, God's plan. In every culture in the world, at some level, you must serve others to be an accepted member of the local community, and you need local community. If you are the self-serving drunkard on the street, you are an outcast. If you are a self-serving thief, you are not needed. If you show up only when there is something to be received, you will not be appreciated. If you are standing in the shadows while criticizing what others are doing, you are not needed. This is not, I'm not talking necessarily about church here. I mean, it applies, but I'm just saying, in cultures across the world, a lot of this actually, I was thinking about some discussions that I had with my brothers in Kenya. We would have a work day, and it was invariably, Steve, you know, Pastor Joshua, he would come to me with this burden on his heart. There are certain members that are just there for the take. They just takers. They don't help. Fulfillment is found in giving and living for others. And being able to put yourself out there for other people. However, in all cultures across the world, those who are willing to serve others will be taken care of. This is God's plan at work. If you are a worker that shows up to help on a community project, you are needed. If you say nice things to people to encourage them, you are needed. And if you live generously with an open hand, you will be appreciated. If you are standing side by side with others in your community, you are needed. We have been told for too long by society around us that if you are unhappy or emotionally drained, you just need to have a little more self-love. You need to follow your heart. The Bible clearly teaches the way to a fulfilling life is found in self-denial, not self-love. The heart is deceitful and is desperately wicked. The old saying, what goes around comes around, is still very true. In the time when you need friends and community, they will be there for you if you follow the Bible's plan for self-denial or self-control or discipline, whatever you want to put there. If you decide to distance yourself and love on yourself instead, you may be all alone when your world comes crashing down. This is not me trying to come at you as youth and think that, you know, I'm seeing something major that needs to. I'm trying to display to you some things that God has taught me. The more I'm willing to give in, that's another one, being submissive to my authority, the more I'm willing to give up of myself. Scott, you read the verse, love not their lives unto death. What about love your life unto life, or love your life so much that you can't, you can't give up some things. I think all of this stuff applies, that we can find that fulfillment, we can find the fulfilling life in giving up of yourself. Maybe you're like, I don't want fulfillment, I want happiness. Happiness is not outside of fulfillment. Happiness is within fulfillment. Many times that's something we go get wrong. Like, you can have fulfillment. I want to go have a party. That does not last. And happiness, the happiest people are the ones that are living that fulfilled life. They are generally people that are generous. They're people that are happy. They are not people that are, they're fulfilled. And they feel like they have a purpose. They feel like they have got something that they are accomplishing, because what else are you here for? You can't just be here for nothing. God puts you here. Like I said in the beginning, I believe God has a specific role for each one of you. I enjoyed very much this weekend being with y'all. Thank y'all for letting me come play volleyball last night, trying to keep up with y'all. I enjoyed very much this weekend, and I want to encourage y'all those of you that are here, serve the Lord. Those of you who are going back home, serve the Lord. And strive to find fulfillment. Strive to find fulfillment in serving others and ultimately serving God. And spend a little less time on yourselves. I think it'll go a long ways. At least it does for me.